Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so that we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the word with us.
I'm thrilled about Ephesians. I love the study of Ephesians. I've been reading through the book and just refreshing my mind on what we were going to be studying, and I just love it. The first three chapters we've already covered, and we didn't cover them verse by verse. We covered them topically, if you will. But the first three, you have to understand, the topic was all about positional truth. It was about your position in the kingdom of God, your position in Christ. And the last three chapters, chapter 4, 5, and 6, is more about our temporal truth. Let me use that word. And that may be a word you may not be real familiar with, but it's His plan based on how you operate here on planet Earth. God has a plan for how you're to operate day in and day out. And I think it's important that we know it. See, God is the originator of the plan. He originated all the plan, the plans for life. He set it all up. Jesus then executed the plan. And then you've got the Holy Spirit who reveals the plan to the people. And so it's just important to understand as we move into His plan, we have to know that His plan for us is bigger than just us. Yes. Chapter 4, the plan is given to the church through the fivefold ministry. This church believes in the fivefold ministry. Now, there are some that never teach this, and I'm not here to debate that topic. I'm just here to tell you what we believe. And I say we believe because I think that it's very important that you understand the doctrinal truth that this church stands behind based on Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 5, we'll be getting to that next week. I don't get to cover that. That would be when I hand it over to Melanie. But I do get to end it out with chapter 6. Chapman's done with all of this. So anyway, he already knows it all. That's right. Chapter 5, overcoming sin and putting this plan into everyday life. Chapter 6 is the conquest over Satan and our witness to the world of his plan. So hold on, we'll get to the full spectrum of it. But I want to talk about chapter 4 tonight, and I love it because it talks about how we live based on the fivefold ministry. And so we've got to talk about this. It just allows the church to be effective in living based on what we believe theologically is correct, and I think you'll see that tonight as we dive into it if you've ever had a doubt. Chapter 4, verse 1, let's just read this together. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called by God. All right, I got to stop there. You know I can't get further than just one verse. Therefore I, Paul says, a prisoner for serving the Lord. He didn't say a prisoner for breaking the law. He said a prisoner for serving God. If you're going to go to prison, that's the best way to go. Serving God, doing the right thing. And he says, from prison, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called by God. We can't read anything else unless you get that. Live a life worthy of your calling. And your calling is calling from God. It's a calling from God. Verse 2, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there's one body and one Spirit. Just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, He has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the Scriptures say, when He ascended to the heights, He led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to His people. Notice that it says He ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that He might fill the entire universe with Himself. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: apostles, prophets, evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer, praise God, be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. We'll stop right there and talk about verses 1 through 16, not verse by verse, but topically speaking. Living by these verses, you need to understand, produces unity in the body of Christ. Yeah. The only time there's not unity in the body of Christ is when somebody's not living by these verses. Anytime you see someone frustrated, mad, disappointed in something going on at church, you've got to know that there's somewhere a mess up based on this. There's not unity because unity happens in the body of Christ if we're all living by verses 1 through 16. Verse 1, live a life worthy of your calling. We just talked about that. You've got to know you've been called. You have a calling on your life for the body of Christ. You have a calling to be in this church. You're not just here to receive. There's a call for you to be a part of. So there's a reason you're here based on God's call on your life. And it's giant. And a lot of people get caught up, well, yeah, I'm called to church. I'm called to the church macro or corporately on a national level or an international level. But people miss the call of the local body, the church micro, the church local. And it's important to know there's a calling for your life to be a part of the body. I understand the church nationally speaking that everybody needs to be a part, but a lot of times the church nationally speaking makes up a lot of the little churches, the little bodies of Christ, if you will, all across the country that can then affect things on a national level. But it's very difficult when someone believes they're a part of the church and never attend the local. They're just disconnected. I'm not going to preach a lot on that because it's Wednesday night. And you're here. You know, as soon as you're born again, you don't always jump right in to your gifting. Because there's a first birth and there's a second birth. So when we talk about this, and I don't know, this year I've been talking about this all the time. It just seemed to be a part of who I am because the Zoe life's only possible based on a second birth. So the first birth, when you were born and you were a baby and you could not talk, you could cry, you couldn't go to the restroom on your own, you were dependent upon everybody else for everything. Okay, so when you understand that, from the first birth perspective, you didn't walk right into your call before you could walk. You understand that you didn't walk right into maturity when you were 1 and 2 years old. In fact, we teach in parenting, that's the discipline stage up to 5. So it's like you just messed up all the time and had to be corrected, 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 corrected. And then finally, you got to a place where you were in complete submission to authority. And once you started being in submission, then you could be taught and you started being trained. One of the things that I see going on a lot in the church is we move people right from salvation into a sprint for the kingdom. And we missed the time that God was going to be going, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that in your life, you need to put this off, you need to forget this. In fact, the whole second chapter of this is learning how to live dead to someone else, yourself, and live alive in the kingdom. So I want you to know I'm not preaching this and you bring a condemnation on somebody who's only been saved for a couple of years. You're still in training. So get some training, but don't stay in training your whole life. See, training in the parenting is 5 to 12-ish. 5-ish to 12-ish. You can start getting trained even earlier than 5. Sometimes it's a few years after that, depending on the maturity of the person. But once you move into training, nobody knows a 12-year-old that functions well enough to hold a full-time job and raise kids. They're still being trained. So in the kingdom of God, if you start looking at your second birth, I'm not trying to put numbers on it, but you've got to see the things affiliated with, there's a training time. And that training allows you then to walk into your call. If you don't have training, you won't walk into a call and you won't realize what your gifting is. A lot of mamas tell their kids they can do anything. That's horrible. I've seen them on American Idol. The American Idol used to be the first few auditions, and they had the most horrible singers you could ever have up there. And they're, come on, have you ever watched somebody that's trying to do something that's not in their gifting? And it's just like you feel sorry for them. I don't want to laugh at them. I just think somebody didn't train them. The training reveals what you are good at and what your giftings are. So, after your born again experience, you start recognizing the giftings God's placed in you and you start training in those areas. Well, this is good. You're developed, you're trained, and you're equipped with giftings. Once you know that you've been called, you got to know that you can live worthy of a call. The only way you can live worthy of the call is to know God, because God is the one who called you. And you won't live worthy of something if you don't live in submission to the caller. When you live in submission to your parents, life goes a lot better for you, young people. If you're at home and you're living in your house, well, I'm an adult. And if you're living at home, you haven't walked into that yet. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be mean. But you don't have all those responsibilities yet. And so you're still in total submission to whatever the rules are at your house. Who set up the rules? The ruler of your house. And that's not you. Start paying rent, you start deciding your rules. And hopefully your second birth will help you establish those. You don't get them based on your first birth. It's what messes up so many young people. Well, I'm not with mom and dad. I don't have to do what they say anymore. You missed the whole transfer of what mom and dad were there for. They were there to teach you a submission to the Lord and release you from theirs. When God calls you to a life, you've got to live like He asked. And you won't humble yourself. You won't put yourself in a position of knowing that you're worthy of living God's call until you're submitted to the caller. Pretty deep, but it's simple. Your call will show you who you are. Let me just say it like this. This defines. Just simple. It's just so simple. The call defines whether or not you're in it or not. Okay, let me explain. God said specifically that when you're doing it the way He called you to do it, you live humble and gentle. You live patient with people. You live able to love. And with that love, you make allowance for other people's fault. And that doesn't mean that you elevate them into positions of hurting someone else. So I'm going to give a disclaimer. But you can still love them even though they've messed up. Here's the other thing you can know. If you're living according to the call of God on your life, then you are living united in spirit, and you're bound to other Christians in peace. Just some things that, well, actually, that all sounds great, but I don't agree with that. Well, you're disagreeing with the Word, not me. The Word identified these things. Each has a special gift to be used in the church. Individually, it is to benefit the church. All right, we've talked enough about that. Here, let me go into the gifts that God gave specifically the church. Now, I want you to know that the gifts that He placed in the people that make up the body of Christ, that make up the church, have giftings that bring to the body. But the fivefold ministry that it's talking about here, God gave the church itself a gift. It wasn't to just you, the hand, or you, the foot, or you, the knee. It was to the whole body. And here's what they were. It was people living out a certain responsibility with their gifting that allowed that to be a gift to the church. Let me explain. Apostle. And I'm not going to go through these and teach on all these because we don't have time. I told the pastoral staff today, I said, here's the thing I kind of regret. We should have been 3 weeks on every chapter. But we're trying to do just one chapter a week for 6 weeks, and that means we don't have time to go through a lot of this. But we've taught on this for years. We'll teach on it again. Apostle means someone sent as an authoritative delegate. Now, I like this. I like to think of them as a pioneer missionary or a vision planner that overlooks the plant, that overlooks the vision God placed in them. Prophets, New Testament prophets, provided edification, exhortation, and comfort to the church, never operating outside of the Word of God. Always backed up by the Word. 1 Corinthians 14:3, one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. Anytime you hear someone say, I have a word of prophecy over you, and they speak something that is not according to God's abundant life, it's a lie from the pit of hell. Prophecy according to Scripture, 1 Corinthians 14:3, strengthens, encourages, and comforts. If it doesn't bring those, it's not prophetic. For the Christian, evangelists preached the gospel and served as modern missionaries, both at home and abroad, to bring people into the church. Evangelists preached the gospel, served as modern missionaries, both at home and abroad. And here's what I love. A lot of different churches across the United States of America and the world, and they're all mission-based in the sense they have missionaries, and their missionaries go to different places. Well, why aren't you going over here? Why aren't you? Do you know how many countries there are in the world? Do you know how many people are in this church? We might send a penny to about half of them. Or we could put a lot and send down to Honduras. We at this church have a mission in Honduras, and we have a mission right here in Southwest Missouri. It's called CMA. Those are our two biggest mission fields that we put into, and we have missionaries functioning in those. And it's a lot of times to bring people in the church, but it's also a discipleship ministry, a pastor-teacher mission to get people raised up in the kingdom. Yes. So we're dual fold there, if you will. And then we go to pastors and teachers. I'm going to move on because I can talk about these a long time. If you have any questions, please feel free to talk to me. Don't email me anonymously. Please come and let's visit, because I want to do it in love and let's walk through them. But pastors and teachers, here's one of the things that's a big controversy, and I'm opening up. Yeah, I'm doing it. There's the fivefold ministry that a lot of people say is really a fourfold ministry, because pastors and teachers actually function in the study of the Greek as a single function with two aspects. Let me explain. Pastor would be the title, teacher is the function. According to a lot of scholars, now you say, well, that's pastoral and that's teaching. Yeah, but when do you ever pastor that you're not teaching? I mean, when you're pastoring someone, you're loving them through a situation, and you're showing them how Christians would operate in the situation. Now, you can bring, but it's when there are times pastors and teachers, they have to have the whole. They have to look at the big. I get all of that, but I'm just saying pastor and teacher, according to the Greek, it's the single function of a person operating in two aspects. Now, I can tell you, some people favor the pastor side of that, just the title, more than they do the teaching part. And there are others who just want to pastor and go play golf all week. And there are, no, I'm not putting anybody in. That's kind of what I grew up thinking. The pastor is a great job. You work on Sunday morning, you play golf all week. That's a lie. But that's what I thought when I was younger and just watching. Why did Christ bless the New Testament church with these gifted people? I ask you that question because I want to answer it. 4:12, Ephesians 4:12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That is to build up the body of Christ. And The thing is, these five or fourfold, all of these giftings that was given to the church is to prepare us, God's people, the saints, to minister and build up the body of Christ. And people say, well, is that the apostles, the evangelists, the pastors, teachers, are those people supposed to be the one to build up the body of Christ? Yes. Or is it to be the people? Yes. Sometimes there's a comma there that makes you think it goes right back to the pastor, teacher, the fivefold. Other times there's not a comma. And there is a big discrepancy on the scripture. Whose job is it? All of ours. To build up the church. We're going to build up the church. When Jesus walked out along the Sea of Galilee, he saw the two pairs of brothers, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, sitting in a boat. They were busily engaged doing something. They were busy. Here's what they were doing. They were mending their nets. You remember the scripture? They were mending their nets. The word mending in the Greek is the word also here that is translated as equipping. Very interesting. It's the same word. Let me try to say it. Katerizo, something like that. I'm a hillbilly trying to speak Greek. They were mending. They were equipping their nets. They were getting them ready for the next day. They were fixing them up. They were preparing them. So you got to take that story and go, well, that makes sense. This suggests, therefore, that the job of pastor teacher in particular, as well as the other gifts, is essential. And it's that of getting people ready to live the Christian life and do ministry in God's word. It's getting people mended, getting them ready for use, getting them ready to go out. You can't do that outside of the church. I don't know why the churches aren't full of people who call themselves Christians, because if they just read Ephesians 4, they'd see the significance of getting equipped. Well, I do that online. You can get online and you can see how a gifting could benefit the kingdom of God, but when you don't use that gifting in the kingdom of God, the church, then we're lacking. There's an evidence that goes along with equipped people. That's really what I wanted to get to tonight. And starting in 4:13 and 14, 15, and 16, let me give you tonight things that are evidence of equipped people. This will show if you're equipped. If you've wondered, well, I don't know if I'm equipped. I don't know if I'm ready to go or not. Here we go. Number one, the first evidence is Christ-likeness. An equipping congregation will have a bunch of Christ-like minded people in it. You will never be Christ-like until you figure out what Christ is like. That was deep. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we'll be mature in the Lord. Really good. Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Come on, we got a bunch of people that are Christ-like. Number two, the second evidence is stability. Equipped people are stable people. They're stable. Give you another word, they're faithful. 4:14, they will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. They recognize when something doesn't fit based on the Word of God. Wait, that comes against the Word of God here. That comes against here. And they also can know when there's a discrepancy based on only a 1% or 2% discrepancy on the Word, and they don't live their life battling that. Okay, let me explain. In the body of Christ, this church, let's just use this church for an example. We are non-denominational. Okay, what does that mean? It means that we are not living under the standard of a denomination. We're not living under the rules and regulations, if you will, of a denomination. But that doesn't mean we're not living under the standard of the Bible. It means we don't have a board telling us what we're going to believe this year. We listen to the Spirit of God and we say yes, and we're in unity based on the Word.
Yes.
Not based on a group of people, but the Word of God. That He delivers things to us through the fivefold ministry. And you've got to know that that will be held to a high standard. Well, who are you accountable to? Everybody. You start going out in left field, there won't be nobody here. See, there's got to be people that are in unity based on what the Bible just said, based on the Spirit of God producing peace amongst each other. I love that. I love that. We can walk in peace with each other as long as all these other standards are met, understanding that Ephesians 4 is full of them. So if we're going to be a stable people, we're not just blown around listening to every doctrine that's out there. Well, what about this and what about that? I'll dive in and we'll study it, but we've got to use the Bible as our source, not what someone said, the Bible and the Spirit of God producing unity. I love to sit down and talk Bible. I don't know if you know it, but the last 2 weeks, the youth asked a bunch of questions, and they had some of the staff and some different people that they asked to come in and set up on a panel, and they read these questions, and they were deep. Deep questions. Deep theological questions. And we sat there as a panel, and I wasn't at both of them, I was only at one, but we sat there, and to the best of our ability, we used the Word of God to answer the questions. Not an opinion. Here's what the Word says. Here's what the Word says. Now, there are obviously different interpretations when you get that deep, but none of them removes us from a born-again experience.
Right. Right.
And we've got the church fighting based on a disagreement on 1% or 2%, and 90% of those questions are on the 1% or 2%. I'm all about answering them, and let's sit down and discuss them, and let's see what the Bible says. I love that, but I'm not going to let it cause a disunity or no peace in the body of Christ. That's what. So when you read this, then you can see evidence based on your call will all be seen through stability. 4:14, we're not immature anymore. Immaturity gets into fights. Number three, a third evidence of spiritual growth is that truth and love are happily married to one another. If you're all about truth and confronting all the wrongs and yet have no love and you're not being equipped properly, who would want to be around people who approach the spiritual life with no love? No, nobody wants that. On the other hand, if you're all about love and mercy and never hold anyone accountable to truth, then that's not proper equipping either. Equipped people will hold you accountable but will love you in that accountability. 4:15, we'll speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Speak the truth in love. The truth is not always wanted, but it is always needed. So even though it's not always wanted, doesn't mean that it's not supposed to be, it has to be spoke. If it's not given, then there's not an answer for them to get healed. I haven't liked a lot of the doctor's appointments I've had in my life, and I sure didn't like the treatments. But they were necessary for me to get healed. And so there are times that the Lord speaks some things to us that I don't know that, well, He speaks them in love. He only wants you doing this because it'll make a difference in your life. It'll help you. So we've got to be His avenue to speak the truth to a world in love. That's why we believe that marriage is between one man and one woman. Well, if you loved people, you wouldn't. No, no, no. I do love people, therefore I say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I can speak the truth, but I can still do it based on love.
Yeah.
And I love people, but a lot of people don't think that I love them because they don't want to hear the truth.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. I've been on the list of the most 100 hated pastors in America. No kidding. Because I spoke the truth in love. But I spoke the truth. And this isn't going to work. If everybody chooses homosexuality, then we don't have a next generation. I watch cows in the field. I know this. Number four. Fourth evidence of spiritual growth. If you want to see if you're proper equipped, is cooperation. Okay, let's just skip this one and let me go on here. Cooperate. When you're immature, you're not equipped. Immature young people don't cooperate. That's why we train them and then we coach young people into a place that they cooperate with the family. We can't all five go to a different restaurant. Come on, when you leave church and you got your whole family together and everybody's got a different choice, somebody's going to have to cooperate here. When we're working together and we want to get something accomplished, we're going to cooperate. It's always work to cooperate. In church, I just got to tell you, in the gifting of pastor-teacher, I have watched years of people cooperating and I have seen the few times that they didn't. And I don't even remember all the wonderful cooperating times. But I can tell you about the few where they weren't. I got to tell you this because it just hit me and I'm going on a rabbit trail. Is that all right for just a second? This side of the stage, when we built that, the church, our church people built that. And then they built this side. We had two mindsets of how it needed to be built. And I said, I don't care. We just need it built. Well, you're going to have to make a decision. I said, okay. Everybody that thinks they need to build it this way, then go over here. Everybody that wants to build it that way, go over here. And they split up and we got them both done. So we got these people all cooperating and these people. And if you get behind the walls and you start looking, this one's not built exactly like this one. But they're both built.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
You can't see it from the outside.
Wow. Yeah.
Everybody gave me the reasons why. And I'm like, yeah, I agree with you. Then they say, that won't work. I agree with you. I'm just cooperating with everybody. I'd go over here, how can I help you? And I go over here, how can I? We got to have somebody cooperating.
Yeah.
But when you're standing and your way's the only way, now I'm not talking about a biblical standard. I'm talking about
right.
What color the walls need to be, what we need to do here. We got people arguing and fighting because they can't cooperate on anything. So how can the people of CMC become Christ-like, stable, truth, love-honoring, cooperative people? I want to bring you back to the operative phrase of the text. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, we need to be equipped. We have to be equipped. And these four will tell you if you're equipped. Being an equipping church is very important. But if we are just giving equipping all the time and nobody's getting equipped, we've missed the call of Ephesians 4. So I ask you tonight, are you equipped to go out and do the work of the ministry? Check yourself on these four. Are you equipped? It's a continual process here at CMC. A farmer said, the hardest thing about milk cows is that they never stay milked. I thought that was great. You just got to keep doing it and keep doing it. Well, I'm tired of hearing the same thing. Well, I'm tired of eating the same food. I'm whatever. I don't care. Get over your tiredness and get back to work. We got to keep on keeping on. We got a job to do. We need equipped. We got a world lost, dying, going to hell. We got a bunch of Christians who aren't getting equipped. What's going to increase the kingdom of God? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and change everything.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.